because I remember when I'd play outfield, you know, when there's like one out, you'd be like one dead or one out or, you know, whatever. I used to like to say, we got one in the wagon, two dragon. That's a fun way of saying we need two more outs, you know?
Yeah. You're a fun guy.
I was a very fun outfielder. I was a crack up, you know? People appreciate, the infielders would be jealous because they couldn't hear all the conversation that us outfielders were having.
I mean, and chances are you wanted a pitcher and not a belly itch.
Yeah. Oh, man. Sometimes you'd get a belly itcher, and it was just a disaster on that mound.
Jesus, I just remembered that you go to a Little League game in the 80s, and every single kid there is going, Combata, Combata. I wonder if they still do that.
I remember, hey, bada, 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 you know? That was big from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah.
Very good one. Welcome to Comedians Talking Baseball with comedian Joe Kilgall, and that's me. I'm from Chicago, recording live here, and I'm also with very funny comedian Mike Bridenstine, who's in L.A. How you doing there, Brido?
That's me. I almost think that you should have our pre-recording conversations as like a pay-for service, because there's some good stuff in there.
We really do have some good stuff, and I was actually thinking about it. For you listeners, when we do this podcast over the Anchor app, we can't just go right into it, so we chit-chat a little bit, and then later I cut that part out. We do have some good little fireside chats there about baseball and about politics and just stupid shit in general.
Fun fact.
Yeah, maybe we should. Little side thing for everyone.
Before the show started, Joe and I solved racism and correctly predicted the 2020 presidential race. Just thought you should know.
Yeah. So you're going to have to – we'll get a Patreon going for that one. Also, people have been asking. We have a new logo, ladies and gentlemen, and I've been getting some great feedback about the logo that our own Mike Bridenstine came up with. And people seem to want some shirts, so be on the lookout. I think that might be in the works.
I can do that. I can make a shirt.
See? What can't you do, Mike? You're a very talented young man. I hope you know that about yourself.
It's called Googling things.
You kids and your machines. I love it. So we have the first weekend of the baseball season out of the way. We have a lot of thoughts we're going to get to on that. A big thanks to everyone who listened to our comeback episode last week, the first of the 2019 season. We will be with you. Episodes will come out every Monday. Some will come out Monday morning, some will come out Monday afternoon, but every Monday, a new podcast in which we will try to make you guys love baseball as much as we do. We'll have some fun with it, too, because we are comedians, so we want to be jokey about it. And you can follow the podcast on Instagram. That's simply just look up Comedians Talking Baseball. You'll find the action there. We're on iTunes and all that stuff, so give us a review. It goes a long way. So, Mike, first weekend is in the books. Are you like me where you're telling yourself it's only the first weekend, let's relax?
Absolutely. I mean, if you're the Red Sox or the Yankees, do you really think the Orioles are better than you?
Of course not.
Do you think the Braves are going to win zero games this season?
Yeah, actually, yes. I was talking to some friends of mine. No, actually, this is half true, half BS. I was in Alaska over the weekend, so anyone listening from Anchorage, I appreciate you coming out to the shows at Bare Bones Comedy, a lot of fun. But a friend of mine up there, he's a Blackhawks fan. His girlfriend's Native American. She doesn't like the Blackhawks logo. So I think that's why the Braves are 0-3. I think this is the year the Native Americans are finally like enough, and the Braves are going to go 0-162.
At this point, the name of the Indians is almost shockingly racist.
The thing that really kills me about the Indians, and yes, you're correct there. And I do have to say this, the Blackhawks and the Braves were once said by Native tribes when they do these big Sports Illustrated polls, which I always wonder how they do these polls. Like, how are they conducting? You know what I mean? Like, is it some white guy who sounds like me? Are you going, yo, what do you think about, them, Florida State Seminoles? Does that bother you, yay or nay, or you don't care?
You people think this is okay or no?
Yeah. Yo, they're dances with wolves. What do you think of them? See, took it too far with the last one.
Well, you are doing a character, and you're saying, yeah, he probably said something to offend them. They might be. Also, sometimes I see a poll where people are like American Indians are not, I don't know what the correct term is. Is it American Indian? Can you say
I think
that?
Native.
Native American, indigenous Americans. You know who we're talking about. They were here first before us. Sometimes I'll see a poll where they don't give a shit. And
no, that's what I was gonna say. I wasn't trying to be insensitive to anybody, but of course I was having fun and doing a little bit of character. Let's all have fun, everyone. And Brido, you found me on that one. That's what someone would say. It's not what Joe Kilgallen would say. That's for damn sure. Don't cancel me, everyone. So the majority actually said that they liked the Blackhawks logo because it was like honoring the Braves too. They did not like the tomahawk chop though. They found that offensive. But the Redskins, they can't stand. I think I've read that most of them are like, no, that's clearly offensive. You're calling us Redskins. What the hell's that? And the Indians logo, going back to the Indians, which you brought up, that is like a red-faced, drunk-looking Indian, is it not?
Well, that's gone.
I know. They finally, this last year was the last year of Chief Wahoo. And even the name Chief Wahoo, I mean, it's very much like a dude who doesn't know anything about their culture just being like, oh, you're one of those dudes that likes to do that, right?
Well, there was a chief named Wahoo from Cleveland.
Was there now?
No, it's racist as fuck, Joe.
You April Fool's me, you son of a bitch.
April Fool's.
Today is April 1st, everyone.
But I've probably told this story before, but do you know the Redskins story? Why they're called the Redskins?
It's got to be something with that owner, Snyder, being just the worst, right? Or his father was the first owner or whatever.
The Boston Braves baseball team, before they moved to Atlanta, got an NFL team in their stadium. They were also known as the Boston Braves, much like the New York Giants football team and baseball team had the same name.
Yes.
Boston Braves booted them out of that stadium, and so they went to play at Fenway. Fenway is the home of the Red Sox. So the football team, which had been known as the Braves and got kicked out of the Braves field, decided to keep the theme and went with Red Skins. They were the Boston Redskins. Then they moved to Washington and kept the name.
That's crazy. You have not told that story on this podcast before. I don't recall ever hearing that.
The Boston Braves were named after the owner was a member of Tammany Hall, and Tammany Tigers was not really their logo. That was like a newspaper thing. Their logo was Chief Tamanind, who was a Native American, who was the mascot for Tammany Hall. He was, I think, a member of the Delaware Indians, and he was pre-Revolutionary War, like the symbol of America before George Washington. So
that doesn't sound bad. That part of the story, at least.
Yeah, I mean, they called him the Braves, which is better.
Redskins is clearly like, see, that's my thing. I was joking with someone once going, imagine if all the things that turned out to be really racist started off innocent and ignorant, like just not knowing, being like, oh, you know, it'd be cool. Dude, I like that warrior thing that the Native Americans do, you know? Why don't we name a team that? Wouldn't that be awesome? Oh, yeah, that is cool. I like that a lot. Give like a spear logo. Oh, that's great. Perfect. Let's do it.
Right.
And then decades later, people found out, oh, you really shouldn't make, you know, mascots out of people's culture. And it's like, oh.
Are people offended
too
by...
Too late. I already printed a lot of stuff.
Got these shirts.
Yeah, man. Come on. We got a couple championships here.
Are people offended by Fighting Irish? Have you ever heard anything?
I've only seen people do that the last few years, and I don't even know if it's true or not. See, the thing with the Irish is, look, I've seen memes where it shows like Lucky Charms and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish and Boston Celtics or, you know, whatever, right? What have you. There's a few. And saying, oh, Irish people are going to have marches and rally against this. And that says, just kidding. Irish people are a bunch of insensitive babies. That could not be further from the truth. Irish people are maybe the most sensitive babies. I know this because I come from a long line of them. Do we have a tough exterior? Yes. Do we bust chops and bust balls more than any other culture? Most likely. But we're also sensitive as shit. Are you kidding? Like, I've said this on my other podcast where I go, everybody is offended too easily. People just think, like, you know, conservatives will say, oh, I don't get offended too easily. Okay, well, then why don't I make fun of your God? I'll make fun of Jesus, and then you'll get all mad and be like, don't talk shit, right?
Right.
Same difference. It's you're offended until people make fun of the thing you like.
Everybody should be like the Mormons.
What did the Mormons do?
You know the musical Book of Mormon?
I've been dying to see it. I know it's from the South Park guy, so I'm sure it's like hilarious, but I've yet to see it.
I haven't. I think I've never heard anybody say that it wasn't great.
Yeah, I know everyone I know, no matter what background they have, has absolutely loved that.
They are okay with it, and they've taken the opportunity to be like, hey, if you like the musical and want to check it out, here's some literature. I mean, I think that the, I should take that back. Not everybody. I mean, they handle it well. But
no, I definitely think there needs to be a sense of humor about some stuff with the Fighting Irish thing. That plays into, like, Irish people like the fact that we're known as fighters. It's kind of become a fun thing. You know, if there was one that was like, you got like a, something going on there?
You know what? I looked out the window.
I know, it sounds like someone's attacked.
I was like, is someone screaming or... It is. It looks like it is just the rusty wheels of a shopping cart. You gotta love LA.
LA, baby. I miss it.
I don't know why that guy thinks he's shopping.
I miss the sound of no matter what neighborhood you're in LA, no matter how affluent it might be, still, you will have homeless people going through your trash no matter what time of day.
I mean, we have a terrible opioid epidemic and we have horrible pricing for housing. That guy probably is going through some stuff. Yeah.
But, yeah.
But he's really screwing up my podcast.
What a dick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to handle... I think that if... good Lord. Okay.
But I definitely think that I get where some people are coming from with it. It just always cracks me up when... They talk to Native Americans, and the vast majority of them are like, no, we're cool with it, you know? But then some people say, even if it's 15% that are upset, then get rid of it for that reason. I don't know about that. I'm torn on that.
I mean, obviously, if a majority, I don't know how – where you – because if, like, some lady's offended and everybody else isn't, I don't know what the policy is there.
I'm torn on stuff like that, yeah.
You would think because that the Indians organization should have had a conversation at some point. The Indians are called the Indians, by the way, because the 1912, I want to say, Boston Braves went from last place to first and won the World Series, and they were this big sensation. And then the following year, the Cleveland Naps, who had lost Nap Lajway.
Yeah, he was like their big star player.
Yeah, they decided that it was good luck to name some sort of Native American name and decided to do the same thing, to go from worst to first.
Yeah.
They could go back to the Naps with no
issues. The Cleveland Spiders at one point, too.
I think that was a different Cleveland team.
Was it a different team? I thought one of the stories was that the fans – hated. Maybe there was a different Cleveland franchise. You might be right on that. The Spiders people, though, in Cleveland hated that name because they're like, why would we want to be called something that you want to step on?
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Well, Cy Young was on that team. I think that this current team starts in like 1901 with the American League, and I think the 1800s team had nothing to do with it.
Isn't it insane that back then, they're just most of the population was east of the Mississippi? So you had teams like Cleveland or cities like Cleveland that would have two franchises?
Yeah, I mean, like St. Louis had the Browns. It's crazy.
Yeah, and then everything just expanded westward. So people were like, well, the population has to go. The teams have to go where the population is.
I also have a problem with the Athletics name, P.S.
Why?
Well, for a couple reasons. One, it's a stupid fucking name.
That's where I thought you would go with, but I thought maybe you had more.
I have more. The Athletics of the, like, the Connie Mack early years, he managed for 50-something years. It's fucking insane. He was also the owner of the team, so he would tank all the time to not have to pay players. He was, like, horrible. But he had three different dynasties. None of those players have their number retired or have any sort of acknowledgement from the Oakland Athletics team. Like Jimmy Fox, you know, those type of Lefty Grove. Like, have their picture up or like a anything honoring them the same way that Christy Mathewson's name is up at, in San Francisco, even though he didn't play in fucking San Francisco. Right.
Yeah. If it's just part of the organization.
Right. The Giants acknowledge that they are the New York Giants. The Oakland A's have zero acknowledgement that they were ever in Philadelphia or Kansas City.
That's so weird.
So why continue the tradition? Why not call yourself something else? It's a stupid name. You don't, you still put the elephant on your jersey because John McGraw called the Philadelphia Athletics like the white elephant in the room or something like that, and they took it as a badge of honor. Why don't you, like, who are you? You know?
I will say this, though. The Oakland A's home white jersey is one of my favorites, and I've always wanted to buy it.
I do have an alternative for them.
Is this along the idea you had? I want to hear it, but I remember you had that great idea of renaming divisions after great players who played in the division, kind of like how hockey does it.
Yes, I think the American League West should be called the Nolan Ryan division. He played for the Astros, Angels, and Rangers.
Great idea. But what would you rename the A's?
The Rickies.
After Ricky Henderson, who's their best player in franchise history, correct?
Probably. I mean, maybe
Reggie
not.
Jackson's up there.
I mean, Jimmy Fox played for them. That's true. The Red Sox. I would have to look, and that would be an interesting thing to know. But
maybe we'll do that next week where we name, like, we make our own list here of the best player for all 30 franchises.
It won't be fun, though. It won't be fun, though, because who's the best player in Cubs history?
I'd have to say Sammy Sosa, right?
Well, it's
probably Ernie Banks.
In terms of, it's probably going to be Cap Anson.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because some of these won't be funny answers because of players that no one's ever seen before.
Well, also, Cap Anson's unfun for a lot of reasons. he's the reason that there was a color barrier. We'll start there.
I didn't know that. I didn't know Cap Anson. He put a cap on which ethnicities can enter the league, huh?
He put a real Cap Anson on who got to play what skin color.
Okay, so yeah, he's a dick. But I thought it'd be fun. We should do one of these things for April because I always harp on, and guys, we are going to talk about the weekend that was very shortly. I always harp on the fact that people need to not overreact this early in the season, but I feel them this weekend because I really did get angry, and I think it was because I was jet lagged like really badly yesterday because I was, again, I flew from – I left Anchorage 9:30 Alaska time at night, Saturday night 9:30, got back to Chicago at 11:30, even had a situation where from my layover, I had a three-hour layover in Minneapolis, and then we had to deplane. Where everyone was on the plane, and then like 20 minutes later, they were like, all right, everyone get off this plane. This plane sucks.
And, That's how they said it?
I wish they would have said it that way. They didn't.
This is your captain speak. Everybody remove yourself from the plane. This plane sucks.
This one ain't going to make it.
This one's broke.
Yeah. Some asshole didn't change the carburetor. I don't know what plane lingo is, but... Anyway, so we had to get off the plane, get back on. That was real annoying.
The greatest A's player of all time is Ricky Henderson with 68.6 WAR. Number two, Jimmy Fox, 64.6 WAR.
Damn. Could I guess number three?
No, you won't be able to.
It's not a name I'd remember.
I mean, he's a second baseman who also was a star for the White Sox.
Second baseman also was a star for the White Sox.
He played from 1906 to 1930.
Oh, 1906 to 1930. Good Lord. I have no idea.
Eddie Collins,
of course.
Eddie Collins.
Eddie Collins was in, he was one of the players in the Black Sox scandal.
Right? He was on the White Sox in 1919. But
that would be the Black Sox scandal, yes.
But he played until 1930, so he didn't do anything?
No, he wasn't one of the eight eliminated, but he was on that team.
It's a good team.
Yeah, they could have won it all if they weren't dicks. But then again, I understand, though. They wanted to get back at their owner, and it was the whole thing. Everybody watch 8 Men Out. It's a pretty solid baseball movie with John Cusack and Charlie Sheen's even in it and a few others. It's a good flick. And it does not pass that – Bechdel test, though. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, what did I?
We're getting way off topic with this.
Wait a minute. Is it the women thing?
Yeah, I was. This actually goes along with what you and I were talking about before the podcast about certain things. Someone brought up how there's no excuse to have a movie nowadays that doesn't have strong female characters in it. And I was like, well, what if it's based on a true story that just doesn't involve women? You can't tell me that those are good movies usually, you know, and history needs to be told. And as the woman goes and sees that movie, I can't imagine she'd be offended that she didn't take place in it, you know?
Glengarry Glen Ross has no women in the cast.
Yeah, there's just a few movies like that. And by the way, if there's a female movie with no men in the cast, great. I'm okay with that.
That test thing is probably a good thing to have, though. We both agree.
I think it's good to look out for that, because if you want to make a good piece of art or like write a good show or whatever, yeah, you want to include everybody. I think that's cool.
I was just talking about this on my podcast, Honk with Mike Bridenstine, with a film critic, Amy Nicholson, and she's talking about how in Empire Strikes Back, Princess Leia is a general. And no one calls her General Leia. They call her Princess Leia. And her whole job in Empire Strikes Back is to argue with Han Solo about whether or not they're going to kiss and then be scared in the back of the Millennium Falcon.
That is pretty funny.
So, I mean, you could have had her be a general, which is her earned rank.
You know, but princess is higher than general, isn't that?
I don't know. I mean, you got to assume that she's commander in chief at some point, right?
Yeah, but like, would you call, if I meet any president, and I'm not going to call them commander in chief, I'm going to call them president.
Did they call him President Eisenhower and not General Eisenhower ever again?
No, you become, once you get president, the highest rank you could be. So once you're that, you don't go, you know what I mean? Then I never call him lieutenant again.
What if you're a king and a general? The king is ahead in charge of the general. So yeah, king.
King is, I think it goes king, prince, princess, and then there's like, you know, dukes and duches and shit like that. I don't really know a lot about monarchies, but I know that princess is probably higher than general.
I mean, you got to knock off points for Leia for not being a democratic, you know, leader.
Yeah, that's very true. I guess in the future, they just decide elections are too complicated.
In fairness, no one voted for her.
No one did.
Okay, let's talk about baseball.
Yeah, let's talk about baseball. Sorry about that, everybody. We did have to do, you know, a little side thing about the whole Indians and Braves and everything. You know, so this all started because I made a joke about the Braves. Yes, they're definitely going to go 0-162. Of course they're not. I actually like the Braves a lot. They're an exciting team to watch with some young, talented players there. Yes, this is just that time of year where we could use our Cubs as an example. The thing that scares me about the Cubs, or bothers me, is that going in, are you breathing heavily, or did you step outside?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, there we go. Sounds amazing. Like, every now and then I think, oh my God, it's the technology of this podcast that could be a little bit better. But it's just you wandering around banging things.
No. I'm not even going to tell you what I did because it's too embarrassing.
All right, fine. So the Cubs going in, the major concern with them was their bullpen. So whatever your team is, if you're a Mets fan and you're thinking, oh, our big concern is going to be their bullpen too, or, you know, our offense or whatever. And then the first three games, the offense looks as bad as you thought they would look. You're going to be like, fuck, this is, you know, but then you got to remind yourself it's three games. The Cubs offense, which was a concern at the end of the year last year, looks phenomenal. 28 runs in three games. Unreal.
Do you know what they started 2016?
They had got to a huge start, I believe. I remember in 2016,
29 runs in the first three games.
Wow. I know, we were at the one game. They won 9-0 opening day in Anaheim. Jake Arrieta struck out Trout twice. And
so 29 runs 2016, 28 runs 2019. The only difference is pitching.
Yeah, we had a much better bullpen and starting rotation then. Although I still think that I still have good faith in the starting rotation this year. Lester looked very good in the opener. Darvish, looked good when he was in the zone. They were missing, but then he just couldn't. It was just walk after walk after walk. 7 walks in like 2 2/3.
7 walks to 13 batters. Is he worried about his blister?
I don't know. You know, I really did not want Darvish or even Cole Hamels pitching this first weekend in Texas.
In Texas, yeah.
No, pitchers always – look, hitters, everyone has a chip on their shoulder when they face their former team. Difference is pitchers, when they have a chip on their shoulder, tend to get out of their mechanics a little bit. They just do. We've all seen it before where you see really good pitchers. And like Clayton Kershaw, for example, is a guy that just dominates the regular season. In the playoffs, look, he's had great games, but his numbers read more pedestrian. And right. I think a lot of that is just him getting out of his mechanics, getting out of his rhythm, because maybe the pressure's on a little bit. Now, Darvish had a bad year last year, in which he openly has admitted in the offseason that he let the pressure of the big contract get to him, the pressure of the World Series loss with L.A., and got in his own head when he got off to a rough start. Why would you throw him in Texas, the team that traded him away? Just it made no, and I don't know, I just didn't like that. And Cole Hamels, who last year, we know, pitched awesome away from Texas, pitched terrible in Texas. If you remove all of Cole Hamels' Texas' starts last year, he finishes like with a mid-2 ERA. He was great.
Is there a
outside
chance
outside of that ballpark?
Is there a chance he wasn't supposed to start? I don't know how it worked. Like,
no, they announced the first three starters.
So it was never going to be Quintana.
No, whole Quintana situation was because
of Darvish getting out early.
Yeah, and Quintana because of like an off day with the last day of spring training. Quintana hadn't pitched since March 22nd, so there was talks of if Darvish couldn't go deep, or maybe even if Cole Hamels, or even if Lester. There was talks of those of one of the three. I mean, the talks were public. This is what came out after the Cubs. For those of you who don't know, the Cubs had to bring in Jose Quintana in like the third inning of game two of the regular season, which is weird. It's like, why is our number five starter now in relief? The Cubs also have an off day on Tuesday. They're going to bring Lester back. Quintana will start. You know, I mean, it mixes up the rotation slightly, but your rotation never stays true 1 through 5 for a whole season regardless. But I think I have a good point with it, where it's like, why would you put – I mean, Cole Hamels is a veteran, so maybe you're like, nah, fuck it, we like Hamels, especially as a lefty against this lineup. But to me, Darvish against Texas, I would have, like, made him relax a little bit. Why get him all – I don't know. And it's not like he earned number two starter status.
Right.
Paycheck-wise, yeah, but Kyle Hendricks – I still don't know why Kyle Hendricks the last three seasons has been our number four starter. Even after leading baseball in ERA in 2016 – He's still the following year was like the number three or four starter.
Yeah.
It doesn't add up to me.
Yeah. They just gave him an extension too.
Yeah. It's game of five, which was a great signing on both parties. I think it was a really good move for the Cubs to lock him up for a while. He's a guy that's going to age well too, because he's not a flamethrower. You don't have to worry about him losing velocity and then becoming terrible. But yeah, so Cole Hamels, let's talk about him. Darvish, we know, was a disaster. I'm still hoping that was just first game back jitters or something like that. Because like I said, when the stuff was in the zone, he was getting a lot of swings and misses.
He struck everybody out.
Yeah, it was nuts. He just he couldn't throw strikes. And to me, I noticed the sequence. I got bothered by the sequence. And again, it's too early for anything. I'm not going to be like, whose fault was that sequence? Was it Contreras? Was it the pitching coach? Because he would be like, 0-1, great. Then the next pitch would be some pitch that was like such a waste. Who knows, maybe he missed a spot. But it felt like there was never a moment. Sometimes on 0-2, you have to be like, here's something nasty, see if you could hit it. I'm not saying throw a fastball right down the middle, but on certain batters, if you've got a guy who you throw two breaking balls and he looks terrible swinging against those, throw a third one. You know, there was just too much nitpicking, too much like working the corners and trying to be clever. Like, you could throw the same pitch more than once in a row.
I don't know
if you picked up on that, but it bothered me a little bit.
Are we at all underestimating how good the Rangers offense is?
I mean, could be. Like, a lot of people going into this year were just like, oh, Texas, I don't know about them and all that, but they've always hit well in that ballpark.
I mean, Nomar Mazara at one point, like 3 years ago, is considered a star prospect. He hit well. I don't know about Asdrubal Cabrera. Elvis Andrews all of a sudden goes for like 30 home runs a year.
What's his name? Odor hits about 30 home runs a year, doesn't he?
Oh, that's – maybe I got those two confused. I'm sorry.
Odor. No, but one of those guys was – maybe it was Cabrera hit like 23 last year.
Yeah, Odor became a power hitter in – but I guess
– well, he's going to throw a right cross.
Yeah.
So he's got some pop.
Yeah, he likes to be like a wrestling heel now.
He does. He kind of walks up with that swagger. I think he wants to get food.
Elvis Andrews is Baby Shark. That's what I was confusing.
There you go. But so Cole Hamels was looking great until an inning in which he struck out a guy twice in one at bat, and the umpire refused to strike the guy out. You ever see that scene in the movie, in the beginning of the movie, Mr. Baseball?
Where no.
The umpire just keeps giving – Tom Selleck is having like a nightmare. That's like the opening scene of the movie where he strikes out. It's like strike three, and he's about to walk away. And then the umpire goes, no, go again. And he lets him basically – he gives him like 15 strikes to hit the ball. And it's like a nightmare situation, obviously. But that's what it felt like. That's why I wish people would watch the game before talking shit. Because I'm seeing these people on Twitter going like, well, Cole Hamels is looking his age. I'm like, by looking his age, you mean throwing 95 miles an hour still and getting fucked over by an umpire, which led his pitch count to get high and which was what caused him to get taken out early. Because these people just look at a box score and don't know what exactly happened. You know, right. You and I are numbers guys, but we also believe in watching the game because there's some shit that does not show up in the box score. I watched every pitch of that game. Cole Hamels was getting squeezed. And if you go to like the, pitch tracks or something where it shows where each pitch landed, you see he had two pitches in the strike zone, not on the corners either, Brido, in the strike zone that were called balls. And that fucked him because that led to the fucking grand slam that Leonard Shields hit.
Yeah.
You extend an inning by a couple more batters.
The weird thing was,
I see that shit. I go, bring on the robo umps. Bring them on.
The thing
Andrew
is,
the Yanks dividend will help those losers.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding, man. I'm done with these umps. They get worse every year.
I mean, the grand slam ended up not mattering.
It didn't. That's true.
It's the weird thing. Montgomery and Strope mattered.
Yeah, you know, Strope, I was disappointed in. He gave up the triple, right? No, did he? No, Montgomery got lit up. Montgomery got lit up
and Strope just like threw a wild pitch and like.
Yeah, Strope, I wasn't as worried about. Look, he's going to throw 96 mile an hour fastballs into the dirt. Sometimes they're going to get away. You just hope he doesn't do it with a runner on third.
Yeah. I mean, that was just, I don't know. You score 12 runs, 6 runs, 8 runs or whatever it was, and you expect to win. And then especially if you're winning that late. And so the Cubs have it in their head that Brandon Morrow is injured. They have it in their head that, like, they don't have a bullpen. And they blow 2 of the 3 first games because of the bullpen. So, of course, we're going to, like, freak out. The Nationals have to be worried about their bullpen after, whatever, 3 games. There's teams that if you think Christian Yelich is the best player in baseball – or in the National League, you watched 4 games and think he absolutely is. That is proof. You know what I mean? Like, it's just small sample size theater, but it's based on watching all the games last year and thinking about what to expect for this year. It's just like reaffirming our worst fears. They need to fit, and then knowing that like Craig Kimbrell is on the market. We can't afford him. Just taunting us there. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's what kills me. Like, how are they not checking in on Craig Kimbrell right now? Because I was told from an inside source that if the Cubs are in it at the, you know, and they need a trade to really push them over the top to make them a World Series contender, like the Chapman trade in 2016, that ownership would say, yes, go ahead. If we're there, you got free reign to add all the money you want mid-season. The whole idea was what I'd heard going into this year, going into this offseason was, all right, listen, we spent big a couple off seasons and those acquisitions have not worked out. Why don't we hold off a little bit here, see what we got before we just start throwing money at the problem that we might not need to throw money at because we do believe in the talent still. That was what an inside source told me.
Okay.
And then on top of that, because it was like, well, where's the money and all that? The ownership said to Theo and them, if there's a trade that we can make during the season, then we'll do it. And even if it means us taking on a whole big contract, like if they would have made the Justin Verlander trade in 2017, they would have been taking out $55 million. So if there's a situation like that again, where it's like, oh, let's go get that guy, but it's going to cost you $40 million, then they'd be like, yeah, bring him on. But they want to know for sure. To me, it's like, we already know now. It's kind of dumb. We know now. We know now we need a fucking bullpen arm. Why not go do it? It's right there. Unless Kimbrel is still like, I want multi-years.
Yeah, the Brewers said that they couldn't afford him.
which that I believe, though, because Milwaukee is still, I mean, look, they sold a lot of tickets in the second half of last year. I'm sure they're going to sell a lot of tickets this year. But as we all know, it doesn't really work that way with finances. Like, if I'm a Brewer fan, if the Brewers sell out every game this year, and the next year they're saying we can't afford a guy, I'd be like, well, fuck you, because I know you can. I was there, and I saw all those people buying beer. You could afford this. But I get that, you know, projection. Typically, look, all these teams are richer than they lead on. They all want to lie and pretend like they don't have as much money as they do.
Right.
I'm not sticking up for ownership. But I do know simple finances in this world. The budget is predicted a year or two out. You know, that's so the Brewers had years in which they weren't making that much money. Now they're starting to make some more. And they did start to add on. If you're a Brewer fan, you can't deny that the last two or three years, they've actually increased their payroll pretty good.
Yeah, they got Lorenzo Cain. They got
that was a big contract.
They got Yelich.
Yelich is still Yelich in arbitration is making some money, but he's still off not that big a deal with the Marlins, I think. I don't know if the Marlins had an extension on him or if he's just an arbitration guy. I can't remember. But then Moustakas is making about $10 million or so. They added him.
Yeah.
Grandal, they made a move on. They added him. He's making a nice paycheck. So, yeah, they are adding. But if they're going to – so I almost believe the Brewers' ownership. If they go, yeah, we can't really afford what Kimber wants. I don't think they're lying to you. I think that might be some truth to that. The Braves are also talking to Kimbrel. They want to reunite with him. That's the team that drafted him.
The Braves need starting pitching.
They do. And how about Dallas Keuchel, everybody? Dallas Keuchel, a guy who you and I as Cubs fans were kind of like, oh, shut up, Keuchel.
Yeah.
Because he said going into the 2018 season that the Astros aren't the Cubs. We're not going to have a World Series hangover. And the 2018 Astros did exactly the same as the 2017 Cubs, meaning they lost in five in their league championship series. So we were all kind of like, oh, talking shit, Keuchel, and you went as far as the Cubs. So I guess you are the Cubs. And here he is now, unemployed, four games in, depending on your team.
Former Cy Young winner.
That part's crazy. But to me, Kimbrel, if he hasn't been signed yet, it's because he still wants that insane deal that was reported on him. But right when the offseason started, it was reported that Kimbrel won 5 years, $100 million, which would be the richest contract for a closer in history.
That's what I want, too, and I'm still unsigned.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a little bit more case than you do right now. You have been benching. People see those videos of you benching. You've been posting those on Instagram, too, showing off that body.
Yeah.
Hashtag hunk.
I'm not showing off my body. I'm just showing what I can throw up there.
Well, it's funny because I was looking at your body. So I think I noticed it. But you know what I mean? Like, here's what hurt Craig Kimbrel. And I think it hurt Machado slightly, but then Machado ended up getting the deal he wanted anyway. 10 years, $300 million, 5 year opt out. That to me is what Manny Machado was worth, and he got that. Craig Kimbrel had a rough end of the season. He did not look good in the World Series. He did not look good in the whole playoffs, you could say.
I'm not in love with Kimbrel. And also I don't know. If the Cubs got him, I would kind of still be like, I don't love Kimbrel. Especially last year with the Red Sox.
Yeah, but I like him on a one-year deal. I like him on a one-year deal in which, you know, Brandon Morrow comes back healthy.
So the Cubs throw a bunch of money at him. He comes in and sucks because he didn't have a spring training. And then every Cubs fan says what?
Never. Then they just keep – I don't know what they would say.
Never give money to anybody ever again.
I know we have some young arms, like the Cubs pitching at the minor league level, as far as starters are concerned, isn't like something to write home about, but they do have a lot of arms, good bullpen arms, like Dylan Maples has got to like 98 with like a six slider that hits about 91, 92. You know, he's got great stuff. And there's a few other guys that Norwood guy throws in the high 90s. That one lefty dude, forget his name, something Ryan.
Nolan.
He's got some sick stuff. Yeah, Nolan Ryan. He's the lefty
Nolan
now.
Nolan Ryan.
Cubs bullpen. He's in AAA for the Cubs right now. But, yeah, I mean, that's just – look, I talking to you calmed me down because, honestly, dude, last night I was fucking pissed.
Well, sure.
I was just – I think it's what social media does, too. You go on social media and you're seeing all these fans who they got a picture of themselves wearing a Cubs hat in their profile picture, and they're still just like, this team is going to fucking suck. 79 wins. Bullpen sucks. Everyone knows they suck. You suck, Theo. Ricketts sucks. This guy sucks. And I look at them and I just want to be like, don't be a fan then. Fucking do something else with your time. Because after three games, if you're this fired up, the next 159 are also going to suck for you.
Well, what do you think Red Sox fans are doing right now?
Are the Red Sox also 1-2?
Yeah.
Dude, my computer died. I don't have all the records in front of me. I know the Red Sox were 1-1 at one point. I didn't know that they lost the series. Red Sox fans are probably a little bit more chill about it than Cubs fans are.
No fucking way.
Are they just as bad right now?
Oh, my God. The Red Sox fans Red Sox fans are, I would say, worse. But, okay, let's go to I'm going to get on my computer. I believe that the Red Sox starters gave up 22 runs in four games.
Oh, they played four games? What's the record?
I'm going to standings. The Red Sox are 1-3.
Okay.
And the Red Sox.
And what are the Yankees?
Played the Mariners.
Yeah.
The Yankees are 1-2.
So you got all these teams who are predicted. The Cubs, Yankees, and Red Sox, besides Pecota, is projected to go to the playoffs. In publication.
Indians 1-2. Astros 1-3. Nationals 1-2. Cardinals 1-3. I mean, the only team that's projected to win, that's actually winning, really, the Dodgers are 3-1. The Phillies are 3-0. The Mets are 2-1. Brewers are 3-1. But, I mean, the Yankees and Red Sox are combined 2-5. So
I just, this happens every year, and I got to remind myself not to get caught up in it. I have to just look at those people and laugh and say, well, they're not smart baseball fans. Yeah, you're not a smart baseball fan if you overreact to a 1-2 start. You're not. You're a dumb baseball fan.
I want to send you a link to every single post I made in 2016 where every single week I would talk about the season. And it puts things into perspective when in 2016 at this point, it was still spring training at this point in 2016. But I'm talking about Trevor Story, Aledmys Diaz, and you're like, what? Yeah, Trevor Story came up and hit like...
He had seven home runs his first week or something.
Yeah, that's what everybody was talking about. Just the absolute tear that Trevor Story was on. The Red Sox were freaking out because their starting pitching was bad, except for David Price, which is extra hilarious. And, like, it's just all you can do. Brian Kenny always says, like, someone's like, it's early. What are we talking about this for? And Brian Kenny's like, I know, but I have a show now. I have to talk about something now. I mean, yeah. So the Cubs blew a game, and they have a 1-3.
They blew two.
The Cubs blew two games and they have a 1-3 record. Yeah, if in the middle of July the Cubs blew two games in a row, you'd still be pissed, but you would also have things in perspective.
That's true. Yeah, I always tell people, I'm like, look, there's going to be a series in which this guy has a bad game, this guy's a bad game, this guy's a bad game, and we're going to lose 2 out of 3. It's going to happen. It just happens to be the first series, you know? Everybody wants to start off like red hot out the gates because then you could settle in and feel good.
Also, my phone. Instead of
the idea of playing catch up,
my phone could die. I thought I charged it, but got real fired up when I was talking about baseball. My phone uses extra batteries.
All right, cool. Let's get to a couple other things then. Long story short, everyone, chill out, relax, masturbate, have a beer. You'll be good. It's a long season.
if you're this stressed, and you're not gonna make it till September.
No, you're not. You're gonna have a heart attack. Then don't be one of those people that enjoys. I know several people that when their team is doing bad or struggling, all they could talk about is how much the team sucks. But then when the team wins 7 in a row, they're quiet. No, not a sound. Where'd you go? I thought you were such a big fan. Why aren't you celebrating all the victories? And then when the team does bad again, they show up. And then you're like, wait, are you a fan of this team or not? Yeah, I'm a Cubs fan. I love the Cubs. They're my favorite team. I'm a Red Sox. Cool. Dude, kid, I'm a Red Sox fan. Are you kidding? Like, you know, they're all fans when you call them on it. But then you're like, how come you never post anything positive? It's all negative shit.
Because that doesn't get attention.
I think because people almost enjoy being miserable and they're not used to winning. And I think Cubs fans are worse now, but you're right. Red Sox fans overall are probably a little bit worse. I just think if you're a Red Sox fan and you're upset about the 1-3 start, it's like, dude, you won the World Series. You dominated from Jump Street last year. From as soon as you know, as soon as you got that green light for opening day, the Red Sox were the best team by far. Weren't they like 40 games over 500, like at the All-Star break? They killed it.
They won 108
games. Yeah, 108 games. I mean, give them a week. Let them settle in. World Series hangovers are real. We've documented it. No team has had a repeat since the Yankees at the end of the last century. So, you know, settle in. Christian Yelich, we have to talk about. Homers in the first four games of the season, tying a record. You know, small sample size. Guy's the reigning MVP, though. He is, again, continuing where he left off. That's really started in July of last year.
Yeah.
Starting in July of last year, he had a fly ball to home run ratio of nearly 50%, which is unheard of for our listeners out there, our diehard FIP heads. We got to come up with a nickname again. We'll do that as homework later. For our listeners out there, to put that in perspective, Barry Bonds at his best was 30% of his fly balls ended up being home runs at his absolute best. And that 30% was considered ridiculous. This dude is at nearly 50%. Again, only four games this year, but he did that for a whole half last year. What the fuck is happening? How is he doing this?
Also, I don't know if maybe I'm talking out of school here, but did I read something that he's not even concerned with launch angle?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a swing that is pretty solid, launch angle swing. He's got a, you know, when I look at his swing, I think that is good gap power. I've never really seen him pull a pitch. I know he's pulled a few out, but he seems to go with it. He's got good right center, left center power. But yeah, he does have a launch to it, but I don't think he's concerned with it. I don't think he's one of those dudes that, I think you're right. I think I read that he's like, I don't really study it. I don't really care what StatCast says about my balls that leave the yard as long as they leave the yard. I think that's like, I'm paraphrasing, obviously. I don't know if he said it as cool as I just said it. But look, Kirsten Yelich is a dude I was a fan with when he was with Miami. He's obviously a very good baseball player. The second half he had last year was so insane in regards to the power numbers that a lot of people figured he would regress this year. You know, FanGraphs and a few other publications we like a lot actually had the Brewers finishing third place behind us and the Cardinals because they're like, Lorenzo Cain is like getting a little bit older. And guys who rely on speed usually don't age as well.
Right.
So they kind of had him. They had him going back a couple steps. And they actually said, well, yeah, Yelich is going to go back a step or two as well because nobody has 50% of their fly balls leave the yard like this. That's just not a thing.
Also, it's like not really fair to a guy to project him at like a 7.6 war, even if he's never approached that before. You know,
yeah.
Which is like he had a five. He's a four. I mean, he's a superstar. Like, and he was on the Marlins. He was a 5.4 war, 4.6 war. That's a superstar or a star.
Yeah, but superstar hitting 23 home runs, giving you good defense, you know, running the bases pretty well. That type of superstar. Not one that's hitting 35, 36 home runs with an OPS, you know, in the high nines. That's he's a whole nother level right now, superstar. Don't
yeah,
you think?
I mean.
Because Jason Hayward in 2015 had a 6 war, which is superstar.
Yeah. Yeah,
but there's a difference between that superstar season that Jason Hayward put in versus superstar season of a guy who's putting up, you know, 40 home runs and other, you know, boner numbers. I call them boner numbers.
You know that his BABIP this year is still below 300.
Yelich or Hayward?
Yelich.
That's
so he's not playing as
he's
well.
Not even getting lucky, is what you're telling me.
No, he's not. I mean, and
see, Milwaukee does have some jet streams in their ballpark. Milwaukee's a hitter-friendly ballpark. So, but his OPS plus last year, which for those of you who are not aware, takes ballparks out of the equation, was pretty high too. Did he lead the league in OPS plus last year?
Unsure.
National League. See, my computer died. Otherwise, I would do that. Your phone's going to die. My computer's dying. People, we need to start buying our T-shirts when we start selling them. We got to put money back into some stuff.
The phone chargers. I know if I put my phone charger in while I'm doing this, it'll screw everything up.
Yeah, that part of it we just can't control.
I mean, maybe Yelich is fucking good.
I know. Maybe he is. Maybe he's great. Maybe because, like, what, he's 27, 28? That's about the time players go into their prime, you know?
He's just turned 27.
Just turned 27. Yeah, that's about a player's prime. It really is. They say a prime is 27 to, like, 31, 32, maybe 26 to 31, 32, 30.
Or you could just read Joey Votto's shirt.
What does his shirt say again?
It said he had a decline in age arc on his shirt.
Oh yeah, that's funny. He's hilarious. He's gonna make a great post. You know, he'll have a job on MLB Network or ESPN or something like that. Cause he's too good a personality.
If you want to be funny on TV, just be a Reds first baseman.
Yeah, Sean Casey. God, dude, I've told everyone that great story Sean Casey had about – Sean Casey was a bedwetter growing up, and he just told a really funny story about it. I don't think I have time to finish that one off, but maybe I'll save it for the podcast next week. Any other surprises early going in the season?
Absolutely. The Seattle Mariners are first in runs scored. Tim Beckham, if you look at his numbers, they lit up the Red Sox, which makes it even better. The Orioles took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees.
Which was really sweet because Orioles game one had one of those just games where you're like, oh, this team's going to lose 120 games. They had a play where like it was like a little league play, you know?
Yeah.
The ball hit the runner. The runner didn't know, kept running. And then the other runner did. They were like bumbling fools. It was like Bad News Bears. And then they won the next two games and looked good doing it.
There's certain teams that have some buzz right now that I'm interested in. I'm interested in the Twins. Their starters have been great. The Indians aren't scoring. Like, Lindor is out. That looks like a weak division. I'm sorry to our listener, Dylan. Yoan Moncada and Abreu have done well so far, but I don't know. And then, so the Twins, I'm interested in. I'm interested in
Royce Lewis. When's he going to be a superstar? Because I have his autograph. Royce Lewis is a prospect with the Twins. I don't think he's on the – is he in – did he get brought up yet?
Not to my, I don't know.
No, I think he's like probably in AAA now, but he's only like 20 years old. So it's not like, why isn't he up yet? You know what I mean? I'm just looking at, I have his autograph because he played for the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Yeah.
And
then
worked for the team. So I got
yeah.
his autograph.
Yeah.
It's actually the autograph to my son. Actually, it says to Maddie Royce Lewis. So, but it's hanging up on this little bulletin board thing I got.
So yeah, it is fun that Yelich is good. At this point in 2016, after Bryce Harper's season, Bryce Harper was, you know, considered the man. His 2016 didn't end up so hot, even though Bryce Harper started hot. It could be like that. Yelich
could be. You don't know. Look, I'm not a Christian Yelich hater. As a Cubs fan, obviously, I don't want him to, you know, be the greatest baseball player of all time because I want one of my Cubs to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, Yelich could hit 50 home runs, but as long as the Brewers come up in second place or third place behind the Cubs, I'm more than happy with that.
Right.
Harper hit 2 home runs in his first weekend as a Philly, which I think it was very important for him to get off to a solid start, given Philly fans' culture.
Yeah, they're really excited about him. I mean, it looks like he's having fun. He's wearing the shoes of the Fanatic. The Fanatic wore Bryce Harper shoes. He has the number one jersey.
No, see, Harper is actually a very smart guy in the sense of promotion because, as we talked about, baseball doesn't really have a household name other than Bryce Harper ranked the highest on that list of household names
yeah.
at a time in which you could have argued maybe he's the 10th best player in the game. This was a couple of years ago.
Right.
But, yeah, he's definitely very good on that. I could see him being like, I got to get up to a good start with these guys because, you know, I'm going to slump. And when you slump, when you have a 14-year deal worth $330 million or whatever it is, yeah, that pressure could weigh on you a little bit.
I feel like he always starts hot, to be honest. I feel like he always starts hot.
He is notorious for hitting home runs on opening day.
Yeah.
See, that's why you got to not get too high or low. You know who else normally always starts hot, who's also to a good start? Former Cub, Kansas City Royal, Jorge Soler.
Soler is having a great start, yeah.
I checked the other day. He's been like 700.
Yeah.
Certain guys go after hot starts. I remember Kyle Schwarber hit a couple home runs opening weekend last year. He had a couple home runs opening weekend this year. So, you know.
He also destroyed his knee opening weekend one time.
Yeah, that was not a good start. That was a bad start. Yeah, that was a bad one. But he had a great finish that year.
He sure fucking did.
That's but right. Yeah, that had 4-12 in the World Series.
Did not have a good opening weekend when he destroyed his knee.
No, he didn't. All right. Well, yeah. So, yeah, you got to look out. So, week one of the season.
Calm down, everybody.
You got to calm down. We're going to give you some fun stuff to watch out for. Tim Beckham's definitely a guy you want to watch. Watch for Yelich to see if that ratio continues. I'm going to say, yes, he's a superstar. He's going to have a great year. But that ratio, I'm going to really stare at.
Stop pitching to him.
Yeah, that too. I mean, I think Ryan Braun hit a bomb the other day. But that's another thing that some people thought, look, the Brewers have a really great bullpen, but we could see a couple injuries in that bullpen because a couple of those guys pitched like 20 more innings than they ever had in their career, which often will lead to injuries the next year. And bullpens are weird anyway. They're schizophrenic.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what you're getting with some of those dudes.
Yeah.
Like, you'll have a guy that's great for 3 years and he sucks dick, and then you'll have a guy that's good 1 year and then everyone goes nuts for him. Like, every Cubs fan I knew was like, Jesse Chavez, how do we let go of Jesse Chavez? And then I'm like, well, we signed this Branch guy. How do you say his name? Branch, right? Or Brock?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
about. Brad Brock.
Brad Brock. We signed him, and I go, well, he's actually better than Chavez if you look at their numbers the last 3 or 4 years. And they're like, I don't know about that. And I go, dude, Chavez has had 3 good months of his entire fucking career. They just happened to be the last 3 months with us last year. Calm down. Okay.
I love how every baseball conversation that you have is just the most annoying guy in the world. Unless you're talking to me, your good pal, Brido.
Yeah, you know, you're great. Everyone else could get fucked.
Don't talk with baseball Joe and come at him with some weak shit, everybody.
Yeah, don't do that.
He's fed up.
I've had it, man. I'm getting old.
Ryan Braun was quoted saying that Yelich is the greatest player he's ever seen. And he's like, I saw Bonds, I saw Pujols. Yelich is the best.
Also, Braun, you are a cheater. And you also...
so is Bonds.
So is Bonds, yeah. So maybe Yelich is too. Maybe Braun and Yelich are getting tight over.
Oh, that's what he's trying to tell us.
Yeah, I don't... That's just a sample size, Braun. Freaking sample size. Okay.
Yeah, I read the quote. Maybe he's like, Yelich is the greatest player I've ever seen. And I saw a Barry Bonds.
Are you doing an impression of Braun's being Jewish?
Oh, no. I did, didn't I? Is he Jewish?
He is Jewish, Ryan Braun. Yeah. I didn't think you were doing it on purpose, but I'm like, Braun's Jewish, and you're kind of doing like a... Like a Brooklyn Bernie Sanders type of guy. I've seen the Barry Bonds. And I've seen
it sounded like Trump.
You did. You sound a little bit like that, kind of New Yorkish.
I saw a Barry Bonds. That's my Bernie. I saw Pujols.
That's your James Adomian doing Bernie.
The millionaires and billionaires of baseball.
Oh, dude, I got to go watch a baseball movie. I got the Cardinals Pirates game on right now. Pirates are up 4-3. Seventh inning, running around third with two outs. Can we get a big clutch hit there from Dickerson? Huh, Dickerson?
What's going on with the Cardinals, man?
It's early. It's early. I could say that for the Cardinals, but for my Cubs, I'm like, they got to fucking trade 7 people.
Goldschmidt and Wong have had a good start, I will say.
Yeah, Goldschmidt, man, huh? 3-homer game?
Yeah.
So you know what, though, was really stupid? This is one of my – and we'll end the podcast on this. When people do this in sports, it bothers me. Some ESPN had, like, on the bottom line, that ticker thing that tells you stuff, that Paul Goldschmidt is one of only X amount of players to have a 3-home run game in the first 2 games of the season.
It's fun.
That's
for me.
Such a ridiculous stat.
That's for me. That's for people like
that's
me.
That's for you specifically.
Oh, they're aiming that right at me. The Dodgers hit 8 home runs on opening day. I was like, is that a record? Guess what? It's a record.
That one is great, though. That is a cool stat because it's opening day.
Oh, they had now, one. Yelich is the first player to win MVP and then start opening day with 4 home runs in 4 consecutive days. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, that's for me.
All right, you like those? Look, I like the one like the Dodgers.
I mean, that's a little day. It's a little stupid. It's a little stupid to do the Yelich thing, but they're just trying to give us something.
Yeah, you're right. The NBA does it even more than anyone else. They'll be like, he is one of only 7 players to have 50 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, and 7 turnovers in one game. Where you're like, you're just making up the rest of that stuff.
Yeah.
None of that actually has a...
Go read the Wikipedia page of a borderline Hall of Fame player. It'll be like Mark Grace or somebody is one of only 13 players to collect 1,800 RBIs and 3,000 hits. Not 3,000 hits, but like,
yeah, he didn't have 1,800 RBIs either.
It'd be like some obscure, like very specific thing that they checked that made it sure that he was only one of like 20 players. It's like, it's pretty interesting to see, like,
yeah, Wikipedia pitches borderline Hall of Famers the way you try to set up your buddy on a date with a girl that's not that cute.
He was player of the month in August of 1993. It's just like,
yes.
And who gives a shit?
Going back to the movie Mr. Baseball with Tom Selleck, he has a scene where he said, I led the league in hitting off of left-handed pitchers from August to August 15th, like, because they're about to, like, you know, trade him to Japan.
Yeah.
And he's trying to, like, come up with these stats to help him out and all that, yep, shit. Yeah. It's like, look, okay, Andrew Miller, who was a guy that I kind of wanted the Cubs to take a look at last year. Yeah. He just walked the bases loaded and he's off to a bad start.
Cause he's over.
So if you're a Cubs fan who was like, we should have got Andrew Miller right now, you got to be thinking to yourself, oh wow, he been hurt the last. See, I think sometimes not signing people is a smart move, but you have to be able to figure out who's going to be good. So maybe the Cubs are just like, we got to wait on this bullpen because we got a couple young guys who hopefully could get through. I don't know.
That was seen as like a big signing for them. And I was like, what year is it? Like 2015? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, people forget. I think Cubs fans remember Andrew Miller dominating the 2016 playoffs, but then the next year he got injured, and this year he's old and going to be injured probably again.
Yeah, it's these guys are relievers because they can't go long.
No, they can't.
And so, like, what – I think people,
you know what's crazy?
Focus on stupid shit. And also, like, the Bryce Harper thing, we could spend an entire fucking episode with me just going off about him not being worthy of being a household name.
We could. Maybe we'll save that for next week because we need a few things in April before we actually get into, like, you know – stuff taking shape, because we did this last year in April. I remember we had some fun topics that were kind of like stuff that you could revisit throughout the year, whether it would be like Hall of Fame class stuff or that idea you had about renaming divisions after the best player who got to play in those divisions. Fun things like that we have to break down Harper, you know. But we also remember last year we had a whole podcast where we talked about, maybe not a whole episode, but we talked about how relievers are really just people who aren't good enough to be starters.
Yep.
And the Cubs brought in Chatwood yesterday. In the first inning he pitched, he looked good. He didn't walk anyone. And he had like a 1-2-3 inning, I think. And then the next inning, he looked like Chatwood. So part of me is thinking, maybe this guy should just be a bullpen pitcher because he throws 95, 96.
Yeah.
He only needs two pitches to focus on. And with guys who have bad control, only worrying about two pitches, two different grips, that's a much better solution. Why not? But the Cubs, you know, I think I would worry. He's going to be in your bullpen because you're paying him $9 million. He's not good enough to make the starting rotation. I think they have to look at him that way. If he has to go in today and he gives you 1-2-3, don't send him back out there. You need to build this fucking kid's confidence.
Yeah. Dude, look at how good Trevor Cahill was last year.
Fantastic.
I mean, sometimes since it's such a small sample size, these guys have like Mariano Rivera.
Edwin Jackson ended up turning it around and had a good year last year. Yeah, 2 years ago.
Mariano Rivera's entire career, he had the same exact about innings in ERA as the career of Babe Ruth, a notorious non-pitcher.
Yeah. Look, pitching is a position, and if relief pitching is a position. If you're a reliever or closer, look, that's incredibly valuable, obviously. But I understand the frustration on your level, a guy who digs into the numbers, and it is annoying on my level too, because I just mentioned Edwin Jackson. For all we know, if Edwin Jackson, if he was groomed as to be a setup man or a closer, could have had a Hall of Fame career, for all we know. But he was groomed as a starter and wanted to be a starter, and people had him as a starter. But a guy like Edwin Jackson, imagine if you would have taken him at 21 and said, listen, you're going to be a closer. So you're just going to focus on two pitches and being a badass. For all we know, he could have been the all-time saves leader by now.
It's really
strange. He threw as hard as Mariano did.
Yeah, I mean – Curt Schilling is not in the Hall of Fame, not a good guy, but like, what if he was a one inning closer?
I mean, the numbers, it's really, they speak for themselves. Like, you see these guys, like
his strikeout to walk ratio is like off the charts. Like, I think greatest of all time. Like, I think you talk to some people, and all they want to do is talk bullpen. And I think that's just like to sound smart that, you know, some obscure, like middle reliever or something, but I don't value it as highly because it is such a small sample size. You could say to me, Andrew Miller, or you could say like Zach Britton. There's been years that those guys have been the shit, and there's been years when no one has heard of them.
That's true. Very true. They're like kickers. They're the kickers of baseball. They come in late and they can either fuck it up for you or win it for you by holding it down. But yeah, it's just not. It's not sexy. They're not doing. They're not putting up as much work as the other guys.
They'd be kickers if someone kicked the whole rest of the game. If it was called the game.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah. I was just trying to think of like as far as glory goes. But you're right. Like, yeah, it'd be kickers if there was one guy that came in and kicked for three quarters, and someone else comes in the fourth quarter,
and either makes it or doesn't, and then they act like he's the shit if he makes it, and they act like he's terrible if he misses it. It's like.
Well, that's why that future, like Brian Kenny talks about in his book and that other book we like a lot, The Only Rule Is It Has to Work. They have like a fireman position where like a guy who comes in out of the bullpen and throws like the last three or four innings of a game sometimes, and having a couple guys like that. Like, we always think the future is not having a set closer and not having like set starters, like having an opener, having a this. So, but if you do that, I still think you want your best pitchers pitching the most innings. Whether those are the last five or the first five, that's what the debate should be about going forward.
The one inning closer is fucking sexy. Don't get me wrong. It was invented.
Oh, dude, it's rock star.
It was invented by Tony La Russa. They give people theme music. They give people like fire in the air like they did with, I think that was Kimbrel in San Diego. And we
Eric Gagne, to me, had the best one ever. Amazing. Were you living in L.A. at the time? He would come out of the bullpen.
Yeah, still Chicago.
Yeah, okay. So, like, back when he was – everyone, look up Eric Gagne. I'm sure there's YouTube videos of it. He had a crazy streak in which he saved 99 games in a row or whatever. He was automatic in the ninth inning to the point where he really had, like, rock star status. If the Dodgers were up by, you know, four runs and it was clear that it wasn't going to be a save situation and Gagne wasn't coming in, people would leave early. Although, they leave early anyway. It's Dodger Stadium. But he would come in from the bullpen, you know, slow walk, had these big glasses, you know, thick glasses. Little bit, you know, a little bit husky type side body size to the song. Walkman of the Jungle would be playing, and the scoreboard would flash game over, game over, game over, game over as he's slowly walking in while that anthem is being played. I mean, it was a sight like that gets in your head as a hitter. You're thinking, fuck, man, this guy doesn't, everyone, no one gets a hit off this guy.
Yeah, but the thing is, like that whole entire spectacle that every team wanted to do. And some teams did really well with the Enter Sandman and, you know, Hell's Bells and all the
Trevor
shit.
Hoffman.
You know, they played fucking rock music and they had fucking pyrotechnics and shit. Yes, it's fucking incredible and it's theatrical. But at the end of the day, that whole entire position is fucking stupid. And no one understands it because everyone is 8 years old and they hear cool rock and roll music. And pyrotechnics. It's a pro wrestler. And the thing is, that is stupid. And these guys want to play like that. Aroldis Chapman has it in his head that that's what he, like, the only thing he can be. The whole thing is stupid.
I know. And just go get outs. Get outs. You know? That's why I kind of like these last few years, baseball has been smarter about the walk-up music for everybody. Walk-up music's like a big deal now. People always ask, oh, what would your walk-up music be if you were a ball player? What would you know, people love that question. And I remember only thinking about walk-up music like the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, before Wrigley started doing all these renovations, their speakers were so weak you couldn't even hear if they had walk-up music. And they weren't even using walk-up music. They were doing just the organist, which they still have the guy doing the organ. But for the players, actually get to come up to like some cool stuff now.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be like if Mike Trout batted once a game in the ninth inning and they turned like off all the lights and Mike Trout, they played like Thunderstruck and Mike Trout came out and he either got a hit or he didn't. I mean, it would fucking like reimagining that pinch hitter position as that thing. That's just as stupid.
Yeah, it is pretty dumb. I like the theater of it though. I like to be entertained.
Sure. Yeah.
Just make more of that, but you know, for the other parts of the game, I don't know. They could do some fun ninth inning thing without it having to be the same guy every time, I guess.
I play Smoke on the Water and turn flicker the lights on and off when I take a shit.
See? But you're an artist, though. You know? You're an artist.
My wife's really mad Brido. About my smoke machine. Yeah.
You should get one. Tell everybody about what you just started, everyone, what they need to look out for.
I have a new podcast called The Hunk with Mike Bridenstine. I talk to my friends and I talk to experts about their favorite thing. So I talked to Joe Kilgallen, my friend and an expert about baseball. So that was the episode that you heard last week.
Yes, on this podcast. But we simulcasted.
We simulcast. I talk about beer. I talk about pro wrestling. There's an episode about comedy. There's one about movies and fashion. I talk about fashion with Mike Burns. That's been the most popular episode. So check it out wherever you listen to this guy.
Yeah, and also we have now a comedians talking baseball.tumblr.com.
That's what you meant. Okay.
That is what I meant. But I'm glad you also pumped up your podcast because it's a great podcast.
Comedians talking baseball.tumblr. I'm going to post every Sunday, just kind of give you like a recap if you want like a real brief recap of what happened. I might also do some deeper dives on there with the nerd stuff that I like.
Yeah, and I'm going to add some stuff to it too. We'll keep it fresh. We'll keep getting that content for you. And yeah, we'll keep it fun. I got a guy, my friend Nolan from Galway Bay Pub here in Chicago. He owns this great bar. He drunkenly told me that he's the best at baseball trivia. So I'm thinking maybe I have him send in like a voicemail of him slurring his words, asking a trivia question. And then, you know, you listeners could tweet at us the answer or whatever like that. And then the next week we'll tell you who got it right or wrong or something. So we'll work that in.
I've met that guy. He's a great guy. I just got to tell you, I would destroy him at baseball trivia.
I told him the same thing. So yeah, we'll have to have a little battle there. Guys, thank you for listening again. This has been Comedians Talking Baseball, week two of the 2019 season, which really wraps up week one. Last week, you heard predictions and some great interview from Bryden Stein talking about my love of baseball. So definitely check out that one if you haven't already. And you guys, you know, have yourselves a great week. I hope everyone hits home runs in life. Brad, are you signing off too? You got a little sign off thing you want to say?
I love you.
Love you too. All right. Talk to you guys next week. Bye.